very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus Minus with my co-host Matt Barrows. Just a little bit after the 49ers week 2 loss in Minnesota, 23-17. Barrows, there's so much with that game. That game, as is typical for a 49ers close game, there's just 17 things we could talk about. I'll just ask Barrows, what do you think was the most important part of this loss?
They had a 300-yard passer in Brock Purdy, a 100-yard rusher in Jordan Mason, and a 100-yard receiver in Deebo Samuel. Usually when you have that combination, you win the game and win it pretty handily, and they didn't. So what went wrong? They were terrible on third down, and they were terrible on fourth down, and they squandered some chances early because of that, and that allowed the Vikings to hang around. And I thought the other theme was Brian Flores just has this team's number. I remember when he came into Levi Stadium with the Miami Dolphins during that 2020 season. I hadn't seen the 49ers get annihilated like that. I mean, that's the one blowout, you know, since they got good in 2019 that Kyle Shanahan suffered. And they just have a mental block for that team or those defenses, or alternately, Brian Flores has kind of figured out how to get after Kyle Shanahan's offense, because the numbers were there, but the execution was not.
Are you kind of seeing this? Like Brian Flores, Steve Spagnuolo, maybe Mike McDonald. We'll see how that works with him in Seattle pretty soon. But there just seem to be a few coordinators who make it tough, especially on third down, especially on the big plays. You just don't see that Shanahan offense moving, you know, like we're used to. Obviously, no Christian McCaffrey. We can talk about that. You know, it's on injured reserve right now, so we'll see how that affects them long term. But yeah, this was not a typical 49ers efficiency game. Then you had the interception that Purdy threw and the ball slipping out of his hands, which I know he doesn't like to talk about that, but that's happened before in rainy, you know, slick games. That was not the case today. And the defense gives up a 97-yard touchdown. Like, you know, and the last, you know, I thought the defense played pretty well, but also could not stop Sam Darnold in that offense when the 49ers get within one score and cannot stop them to try to get the ball back and try to win that game. What do you think defensively? What do you highlight in defense other than, you know, obviously a 97-yard touchdown was just killed right after you get stopped at the goal line on fourth down, then you give up a 97-yard touchdown. Sam Darnold, your former quarterback, that was kind of brutal. It did a little flashback to Jordan Addison at the end of the first half last year. Sure. It wasn't the same zero blitz. It was covered. I guess that was man-to-man. I didn't think it was. People on Twitter corrected me. Yeah, you can see Charvarius Ward chase the other receiver across, so maybe it was man. But it was a screwed-up man, and even then you're supposed to have help over the top, and Jair Brown just missed it, right? He just missed that coverage.
Yeah, that was, I thought, one of the big themes. Was not a good day for the secondary. There's that. That's going to be the highlight that you see a million times this week. But they had trouble with that bunch formation throughout the game. The Vikings would bunch up three receivers, and one of those guys invariably would get open for, you know, a wide open, easy catch. There was a communication issue between Charvarius Ward and Jair Brown on the other touchdown to Naylor, wide open. There were a lot of wide open throws for Sam Darnold, and you contrast that with Brock Purdy, who had a good game, good numbers, but every one of his throws was contested. There was nothing easy for Brock Purdy. And then at one point, they took Odom out of the game. It was right after the 97-yarder to Jefferson. The next two series, Odom was out, and the rookie, your guy, Malik Mustafa, was in. I didn't know if that was going to be a permanent move. I didn't know if Odom was injured. It turned out it was only temporary, but kind of speaks to their, I guess, issue with the secondary play. I mean, there was a lot of kind of changes, a lot of bad communication going on in that game. Second year in a row, bad communication, bad secondary play for the 49ers in Minnesota.
Yeah, and interestingly, you know, a lot of talk about Charvarius Ward not being targeted by Aaron Rodgers hardly at all in week one, maybe once, you know, not really going at him. And today it looked like they were happy to go at him, especially when Justin Jefferson was before he got hurt. And they were not going all in or. Like, they barely went left.
Yeah.
That was interesting. I don't know whether that's a decision. I think Jefferson does like being on the right side. They like having him on the right side. So if you got Justin Jefferson, it doesn't matter who the corner is. You're going to go where he's comfortable. But I just it was interesting. Like, it was a totally flip. They're going at Charvarius Ward, the Pro Bowl guy, and not going at the young guy, D'Amato Lenore. Different, interesting things. Obviously, Fred Warner had another incredible game. We might not be counting this anymore, but my pick of him in that turnover category.
For sure. Looking pretty good. Yes, you're running away with that in week two.
Two lost fumbles and an interception. And they gave him another forced fumble in that last play where he poked it out of Darnold's hand. You have to give him a forced fumble because it was a fumble, even though it went out of bounds. I think that's the best sign for Nick Sorensen, other than whatever you can look at strategically. You know, they're not getting a lot of pressure. Sam Darnold does kind of hit him a couple times. But the fact that Fred Warner, who was good last year, has been great before, but he just looks like he's playing at another level. He just looks like he's comfortable playing for Nick Sorensen. In many ways, maybe Fred is the defensive coordinator, but he's like playing best player in the league level right now. And they needed it today. My God, if they didn't have him on that, especially poking away that forced fumble at the goal line, they would have lost by – this would have been one of those blowouts, Barrows, probably. This would have been 10, 14-point loss if not for Fred Warner. The interception was gigantic. That was a momentum play. They're driving down to go up, probably go up 17 at that point, whatever it was. And he plucks it away, and they get the ball back, and they go back and score. Relatively monumental play by Fred Warner.
Yeah, for sure. He was the best player on the field, probably for both teams yesterday. I don't know what the score
today, Barrows. Today,
game Warner out there.
The game was today. Was that? The game was today, by the way. You said yesterday. So.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it seemed like yesterday. It was so early in the morning. And maybe that's part of it for the 49ers. Yep. But yeah, excellent game for him. Getting back to Ward, I mean, he's usually so good in run defense. And even that area, he was bad. Just not containing on his side, just an off day for Charvarius Ward. Maybe, don't send him north of a certain parallel. he goes to Minnesota and he's no good. I'm trying to think of who else kind of Nick Bosa had two sacks. He looked good, but nobody else really kind of stood out on that defense. Their guard, Ed Ingram, had a real tough time against the New York Giants. In week one, gave up all sorts of pressures. So I thought it was going to be a big game for Hargrave or Malik Collins or somebody on the inside, but nobody really kind of stepped up. And they needed at least one other defensive player to have a big game, and they just didn't get that from them. And then on offense, I wrote about Brandon Ayuk. The 49ers are basically down 1.5 offensive stars right now. No Christian McCaffrey, and you're only getting Ayuk at a certain percentage of Ayuk. The 49ers were still able to gain yards, gain some tough yards, but something not right with that offense. Six field goals for Moody in week one. 17 points today. 17 points was their low last season. They got that in those three midseason losses to the Vikings, to Cleveland, and to the Bengals. So already they've duplicated that. So something not quite right there. I think there's some good and some bad in that because you know that Ayuk is going to get up to speed at some point. You know that connection between Brock Purdy and Ayuk, which clearly is not there right now, is going to catch on at some point. You think that McCaffrey is going to be back at some point. That's the nature of this injury. It usually goes away. Not always, but usually does. So, my point is that they're still able to gain some yards. It's not peak 49ers by any stretch of the imagination, but I guess there is a slight silver lining in that you imagine that things are going to get better as the year goes on.
I thought Jordan Mason was good. You know, he's just good. You know, he's just a good, he's not McCaffrey. Nobody's McCaffrey. I thought Kittle was very precise in saying, you know, there's just some things that they can't do when McCaffrey's not out there. No running back other than Marshall Faulk, you know, allows offenses to do as many things as Christian McCaffrey. So it's going to change. But I thought Jordan Mason was better than they could have expected as their third string running back coming in there, back-to-back 100-yard rushing. Not quite, you know, he's just not going to pick up the first downs McCaffrey's going to get. He's not going to threaten the defenses vertically in the pass game. I think one catch today, one target, it's just not where they're going to go. But he's still solid. They're still running the ball. It just, I think it's, yeah, the drawing the defense, having to like worry about McCaffrey opens up other things for other people. And right now, Ayuk maybe would do that for other people, and he's not doing it because he's just not exactly where he wants to be. Although you just name all those losses, Bears. Like, do they just lose to Midwestern teams, counting the Super Bowl? Was a Midwestern team, I think, and then this one, and I remember another couple losses to Kansas City. Gotta have to check that one. They're okay on the East Coast, not great. They're okay, and then they're really good on the West Coast. And then those Midwestern teams, they don't like playing them so much. Who knows? Although they beat the Packers pretty regularly, so that might be,
that's right.
That might be one I should check back on. I do want to say, I've been saying this: 10 a.m. start in the Midwest. On a short week, they had to get, you know, basically they played Monday night at home, win Tuesday off, practice Wednesday, Thursday got to wind down because they're on a plane Friday. So they're not even on a plane Saturday. You're on a plane Friday to get out there. That is a really compacted week that on a team that is just dealing with the McCaffrey injury. It's not an excuse. This is the NFL. This stuff happens. But it might explain the team looking not great in the first half. And they really did not look great. Punt block, right? That's a terrible breakdown. It's I don't want to blame. I'm not looking at the film. Look at Robert Beal just let the guy right through and was taking someone else. But obviously, you always take the inside guy more than the outside guy, and he let the inside go right through. You cannot have that. Our guy Jacob Cowing, he was about to cough that punt return off. You know, bounces right off his head. Again, some of it is he's in a, you know, it's a dome. The lighting's weird. This is what happens, but. This is some scary stuff for the 49ers, but also it's understandable. Now they got to beat the Rams. Like, I was looking at these two artificial turf games back-to-back. I thought the 49ers were going to lose one of them. I thought it was going to be next week. But now the Rams are 0-2, just getting whooped by the Cardinals in Arizona. Cooper Kupp now looks like he's hurt. He's out. He was out, missed the second half. Puka Nacua is on injured reserve. We know their offensive line is banged up. I think the 49ers have, you know, must win whatever. It's week three. But making, if they win that to go 2-1 and to put the Rams 0-3 would be a pretty decent result for 3 weeks and not have Christian McCaffrey for any of them. I really think that's a pretty large game now.
Did you watch the Rams game?
I watched some of it. They just got roasted. I mean, it was just, you just looked up and Kyler Murray was just going boop, 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 and the ball was flying. Marvin Harrison. The Rams looked slow and beat up. They really did. The offense did not look good. I mean, from what I saw, I'm not looking at the stats, it looked like they could not run the ball. They just look like, we've seen this Rams team look bad at times. It's when they can't run the ball. It's when Stafford's getting pressure. They just don't have, it's like the 49ers not having their weapons. The Rams really don't have their weapons. Teams go up and down. You don't know who's going to show up the next week necessarily, but this is the time to get the Rams. And for the 49ers to get through that, if they win that game, they're through the artificial turf early part of the season. They get four of their next five. They got one artificial turf coming up, the next five at Seattle in that Thursday night game after two home games. But then you have two more home games after that to the bye. So this is a nice section for them to get people kind of off the turf if they win Sunday. They lose Sunday, they're 1-2, and maybe Seattle's 3-0, and maybe things start to look a little bit on the wrong side. This one is not the big problem, this loss. I think they lose the next week or someone gets hurt next week. We know how these things go. But I want to put the schedule thing in some kind of context. Barros, like, can they do something about life without McCaffrey? Is there a tweak to this? Obviously, it's get Debo highly involved, but there's also a downside to that, right? He gets banged up. Or they just run the offense like with Jordan Mason, just turn it and give the ball to him, run that same play. We know the outside zone and then run inside zone and then run outside zone. Are there other tweaks this offense is going to do? I guess maybe just get Ayuk further involved in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, all of the above. I mean, you know, the only guy that gives you a McCaffrey option out of the backfield is Debo. But I think that the 49ers are leery of giving him that same workload. You and I talked about this, that he got against the Jets. That was a lot of work out of the backfield, a lot of hits. You saw Debo coming off the field late in today's game, needed help off the field. I mean, he already looked like late season Debo, having trouble getting hit a lot. And he had a great game, by the way. You know, I was talking about how nothing was easy for Brock Purdy. A lot of throws to Debo over the middle where it's just, you know, like six different hands are going up for that ball. And it's Debo Samuel who comes down with it. So kudos to him for just a really gritty, tough effort. But I just don't know if that's sustainable. You definitely could see a couple of those getting tipped and then becoming interceptions and things like that. So they were forcing it to Debo today. He came up with the ball. Good for him. But there's got to be something else. And that's where Ayuk kind of rounding into form comes in. As far as Jordan Mason, it was a little baffling to me that Mason's coming off this 147-yard game against New York. And seven of the first plays today were passing plays. I think that the 49ers were scared of the run defense. The Vikings had the best run defense in the league last year. I think the 49ers made a decision that, okay, we're gonna pass our way to a win today. And they didn't go to Mason early enough or often enough early. Because when they did go to him, he was effective. I mean, there was that very first run. It was an outside zone. The Vikings snuffed it out perfectly. Great defense on it. Should have been a two-yard loss. And Mason's so strong. He's got such good balance that he turned it into, I forget what it was, a five-yard gain. You know, my thought is just, you know, I don't want to say dumb down the offense, but that was George Kittle's point after the Jets game. It gets simplified when there's no Christian McCaffrey out there. That's not always a bad thing. I mean, if you can still steamroll a team, which Jordan Mason was doing, by the way. I mean, I think the Vikings defensive backs are so glad he's not on the schedule anymore. He was pummeling them in this game. That's what he does. So I don't know why they just didn't kind of settle on that as their Christian McCaffrey-less identity. Seems like a really good identity to have, especially when Ayuk is still rounding into form, when you're getting good, you know, chunks of yardage with your two tight end sets. That's a formula that you could win with. They didn't use it today. They didn't use it to as much as they could have, and they probably should have.
That darn Kyle Shanahan just wants to throw the ball. He just won't run it. That guy just refuses to run the ball. I think that's a Brian Flores thing. I think that's not having a McCaffrey thing, but I totally understand. But you do want to have, I mean, I think he's throwing to try to get control of the game so he can run it, because I think they really feared those guys coming off the edges and blowing up those outside zone plays. But, yeah, you just look at the yardage. Like, yeah, maybe you should have just done what you do. Go right up the gut. Although, you know, they're on the road. You never know. But I think they wanted to get the pass rush off of Purdy by throwing early to run middle, then throw late. It just feels like Shanahan was looking at that and not feeling comfortable. They could just run the ball with Mason. Obviously, they don't want to give it to Garendo. Carries the ball one time, first carry as an NFL player, runs right in the line and does not touch the ball again. I would be curious maybe to see him more, but also, like, if you just give it to Mason six times in the first two drives, then you're looking at maybe having to give him 30 times, and I don't think they want to do that. Again, I'm trying to go back over why Kyle would be doing this when we know he loves to establish a run. We know he wants 30 runs and did not do it. But it's something to monitor. This Brian Flores, Steve Spagnuolo, like, I'm sure Shanahan does not like us talking about it, but they do seem to have something on him. It's pressure. It's tough fronts. It's, you know, knock Purdy around and make those slant passes tough. That's what it is. And, you know, you'd think other teams would do this, other defensive coordinators would do this. Maybe they just don't have the personnel to do it. But I don't think the Vikings have great defensive personnel, right? I mean, they lost Daniel Hunter, so who's their all-pro? I don't even know who that would be.
Van Ginkle?
Ginkle's your all-pro? Yeah, I mean, yeah, it just seems like a hard thing to say, oh, that's just that great talent. They don't think they got that. So All right, Beryl, what's your positivity out of this? What's some things you think are some pluses?
Well, before I go positive, I will note, you know, they did have Ayuk last year, and they did have McCaffrey last year in Minnesota, and they only scored 17 points in that game, too. They didn't have Deebo Samuel, and I don't think that they had – yeah, Trent Williams was out for that game, so they were a little bit maligned in that game as well. But, again, you know, the common denominator is Brian Flores in both of these. The positive is that, you know, Brock Purdy still had 319 passing yards despite those limitations. They are in a position to at least win the game. They don't have to play the Vikings again this year, as you noted. They're going to play the Rams. The Rams have traditionally been their get right team. I can't remember all the times that they had, you know, one or two bad losses, and they play the Rams, and then they look great against them, and the season is salvaged. So they'll have that opportunity to do that again, and then a home game against the Patriots, and then a home game against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, which will be interesting, I think, because again, and we say this every time they play a even a semi-athletic quarterback. Sam Darnold had some big gouging runs against them in this game. That's something that defense, with all of its aggression, kind of exposes itself to. You got to get him on that first kind of push, and if you don't, there's going to be a lot of green grass there, and that happened a couple of times in this game. Those are the positives that I can take away from it. I thought that both Kittle and Deebo Samuel had nice games. They caught just about everything that went in their directions. I thought Brock Purdy did too, minus the weird ball slipping out of his hand, forced to throw to Kyle Juszczyk. But again, not a lot of open receivers. Nothing easy for Brock Purdy. Lots of easy or easy-ish for Sam Darnold.
Yeah, that ball slipping out of his hand and being ruled a fumble and not a pass helps his quarterback rating, by the way, because his rating's over 100, which it would not have been if he had two interceptions and only one touchdown. But hey, those are the quirks of the stats. This goes down as a good Purdy game, like over 100 quarter passer rating. And, you know, he does tend to do this. Like, oh, he's looking terrible. Things are looking bad. You look up, and he's 65% completions, maybe even higher. He's over 30.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just the baseline with Purdy. If these first two games have been just the average run-of-the-mill Purdy, you will take it because it's kind of like the bottom. And there's so much higher to go when he throws the three touchdowns, when he gets hot with Ayuk, and they go for 6 and 127, you know, with that combination. And when somebody breaks it deep, that there's so much left to go. I will say, from the positive, I'm going to write about this for a publication you don't know about tomorrow, that you got Detroit losing at home to Tampa Bay. You got Dallas losing at home to New Orleans. You've got the Eagles are already 1-1. You've got all the Rams 0-2. This is not, you know, if you're unless you think Seattle's going 15-2 and racing to the number one in division title, this is not shaping up to be an incredible NFC at the top. It's going to be competitive. You're not going to want to lose games, but I think more than anything, you're not going to want to lose home games. And the teams that lose home games are going to be feeling pretty pissed off. You get 9 of them in the NFC this year, so there's some extra home ones, and that's where people can pile up. I mean, the 49ers can go 7-2 at home to get to 11. They just got to go 4-4 on the road. And I think it's looking like 10 to me, which is what I thought already. But they go 7-2, 4-4. I think they'll be pretty happy. And they might be better at 4-4. Right now, it's 0-1. I just don't think this panic over this game or whatever it might be, you got to do it against the context of what's happening in the league. And nobody's looking great. Nobody's looking great. And you just have to say, okay, take that one, win the next one. And if you win that one, win the next one. Get yourself into this, you know, get yourself to 5-2. Get yourself to 6-2. And then see how it all plays out. And obviously, I think that's all still there. Injuries would be terrible for them at that point. But, like, they can survive this non-McCaffrey portion of the schedule, which I think is going to be 5 games. I don't think they're going to bring him back for that Week 5 Thursday night game in Seattle. Mm-hmm. See artificial turf. So let's say they go 3-2. Lose in Seattle and lose this one. So you win the rest. think they'd take that. And then you got Christian McCaffrey on fresh legs coming back for the final 12 games. I just think you have to kind of look at it that way. And this one is a bad one, but they've lost in Minnesota before. It was Kirk Cousins last time and Sam Darnold. This time it might be somebody, J.J. McCarthy next year, who knows? But you just kind of have to put it in context. It's not great. It would have been good for them to win this game, but they did not. And the world does not end. This was the one you kicked away, but I think you go 4-4 on the road is going to be just fine in this conference. It might even be enough for the one seed. I don't know that they're a one seed team this year, but I think 10-7 gets you very well situated in the playoffs if you're 10-7.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they're headed towards. I think they're a flawed team, maybe a little tired on some of these quick turnarounds, but they're good enough. If they get through the McCaffrey games 3-2, it might even be 4-1. We'll see. I think they're very solidly set up. That's kind of a goal, 3-2 in the non-McCaffrey games.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that he didn't spend a long time talking about this, but Shanahan did talk about McCaffrey and what he needs right now, which is rest, and that putting him on IR sort of forces him to get that rest. And I think he used the phrase, you know, kind of saves himself from Christian McCaffrey, which sort of kind of punctuates what we were saying, is that this is a guy that wants to be on the field. He was pushing that Achilles. It would feel a little bit better, and he would get out there, and it would start to feel bad again. So he's going to be off of that Achilles for a while now. So all the doctors that I've talked to have said it usually resolves itself with rest. I just wonder how much rest Christian McCaffrey has been giving it, just considering the workaholic that he is and how badly he wants to be out there. So, 4 or 5 games probably is going to be what it takes to get rid of it. But to your point, the whole second half of the season, he ought to be fresh.
Anybody else you think might be coming back? I mean, again, it's an artificial turf game, but Hufanga? I mean, maybe?
Well, I mean, they didn't start him out on injured reserve, which they could have done, which would have cost him 4 games. So that always kind of told me they saw him coming back in week 3 or 4, and another artificial game coming up in L.A. But given the caliber of the safety play today, I think that they'd like to have him back in that mix. I mean, again, neither Odom nor Jair Brown are burners, and they got burned by Justin Jefferson. But there was some communication stuff that was going on there. Having a smart guy like Hufanga back there, I think Jair Brown is smart. He's young, so there are going to be mistakes like there were today. So having more of a veteran presence back there, I think, is going to help this team out. Again, it was really interesting to see Malik Mustafa in there. That may be something that they're kind of pushing for later in the season, or maybe kind of 3 safety looks like they did back in 2019. They did that quite a bit, but it was clear that they weren't quite happy with what they were getting from their secondary today.
Interesting that this Odom is the one they removed and not Jair Brown. You would have thought Jair Brown's the one who got run past and seemed to have some communication issues with Javarius Ward, and yet he stays. And I think they're trying to get as fast as possible. Like, they just want to get faster. Now, Hufanga would not fix that, but Hufanga plays so instinctually. And, yeah, he does play the Rams pretty good, Barrow. So I still remember some good plays against the Rams, so maybe they want to get him in for that one. All right, anything else you want to wrap this up with, Barrow?
No, that's it. I think we covered this game. On to Los Angeles.
On to Los Angeles. I will be in Los Angeles. I don't know if Barros will be there, but I will be in.
I'll be in Los Angeles. Yeah,
I'll be in Los Angeles. Big ball game. This is what you want from these things, man. The Rams are going to be really, really desperate for a win. I mean, really desperate for a win. But the thing is, they play almost all their games on artificial surface, so their guys get hurt. That's I bang this drum, but it's so clear to me that I know you can't probably have artificial surface of that because you have 2 teams playing at SoFi. But the more you play on artificial surface, the more likely your guys are going to get hurt. Justin Jefferson, I don't know if that was caused by artificial surface or not, but it's more likely than not than it was, or it's worse because of artificial surface. Nick Bosa just hates playing on artificial surface. His ankle thing, I'm sure there was a bit involved with artificial surface. I'm sure Nick thinks that, having talked to him. So 49ers take advantage of that. You get your home games on grass, and you only play a few artificial surface games. Take advantage of that and have your guys be healthier than the other team.
There you go.
All right. That's my sermon for today. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Catch you later.